Yes. I think this will be the last lecture of the semester. Since you're basically going to be getting ready for your final presentation, final report. I noticed that I didn't send back copies, graded copies, of your patent disclosures. So I'll probably be sending those in the next day. Everything's been graded. Pretty much everyone did a good job on the invention disclosures. I just got from Gura the design reviews, and those are all typed up, and I can probably send them out at the same time as I send back the invention disclosures. So you'll have everything. And the only assignment left, and we deliberately put it way after Thanksgiving. Even though we talked about ethics already, we didn't think you wanted an assignment before Thanksgiving. So if you give thanks for anything on Thanksgiving, it's for a very delayed ethics assignment. It's not due until the 5th of December. Now, don't put it off. And there is a special comment, which I'll put in an email to you. And that is, the ethics assignment is an individual assignment, not a group assignment. That means everyone writes their own. It's the only assignment in the course that's individual. And it need only be 2 or 3 pages long. So it shouldn't be too bad. Okay, any questions about anything? Okay, well, our last talk here is sort of going to be about everything that we didn't teach you that you really should know to graduate, or actually everything that you should know to operate in the real world. And we've got Steve Belovich here today. I never remember the year, but he graduated from here in 81, and he's going to talk about engineering and entrepreneuring. And entrepreneuring is basically, as we've talked about already, you know, the art of the start, to quote Marigani, business startups. And don't forget, even though the focus is on entrepreneuring, you can often do many of these things within a larger company as an intrapreneur. Anyway, Steve, you want to tell them about how bad the real world is?
Oh, gosh, yes. It's a bitter barrel of laughs. I graduated as a doctor, as I said, case A1. Originally, I actually went to Virginia Tech a while long before they had a football team. They're good now. They weren't sure what it was then. 83, 87, master's and PhD. I'm CEO currently of IQware, and I'm going to kind of take you through the journey today. And what's kind of nice is it's a smaller turnout for whatever we want in the holidays, so it's good. So please make this interactive. In other words, it's free today. I do charge you tomorrow. Okay, sorry. My account would be a little upset if I did. Good employees, they would be a page back. But feel free to put out questions at any time. I was once in that chair like you are now. Okay? In this room. That kid in my process, or excuse me, in the back, I don't know. And I'm here today to proceed with Dr. Harris' case and everything else. And it's a pleasure to me to kind of explore what I've been the past, I don't know, it feels like a year or two, right?
It's more like time flies.
Darn near 30. Actually, my 25th anniversary in business.
Alumni Association will talk to you about a Super Bowl donation.
I hear the stock certificates up here, too. So where's the board button? Just an mouse thing here?
Yes. Or just use the arrow keys on the keyboard. Pull it out.
That's fine. I see it. All right. I'll just pull
that one. The arrow keys work pretty well.
Engineering. Okay. You got to understand, why did you major in engineering? You like science. You like math. S&M, right? Science and math. You can apply your own interpretation. Could be sales and marketing. Could be many things. Okay. Please be creative. It could be important. I like experiment. Invent. Create. Okay, if you desire to do that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. I mean, why would you go through 40 years of this kind of pain if there wasn't something that you, that you want to satisfy, or you're extremely weird? Okay? Now, you know, well-adjusted, you could be weird and well-adjusted. It's okay. Those are not orthogonal concepts, right? The Venn diagram, right? Systemary happiness in third grade, is circles do overlap. So, like the starting salaries. Let's face it, starting salaries, even now, which has been kind of static, are still decent. So very good. Better than MBA. MBAs can end up being your boss. However, after today, properly applied what I will show you, you will be their boss. They'll be working for you. All right? That was my dream, and I've been fortunate enough to achieve most of it. Okay. Engineering, what you learn a lot, what it teaches you. Keep in mind, the curriculum is only 4 years, and Dr. Merritt and I and others have had this effect a long time. At some point, you'll have to go to a professional degree program. So much like medicine or law, it has to. There's just no way to cram the kind of stuff in your brain in 4 years. You die of overload, you know? Not enough coolant getting to the brain for this. Science principles, physics, chemistry, math, advanced math, technical analysis, situation problems. Hopefully, you'll learn some logical thinking. Don't expect a whole lot when I hire fresh grads, because it's not their fault. It's that they're 22 years old. They don't know. They've been out there for them. All right? And analytical and software tool usage and, you know, tricks of the trade. At least an introduction to them so you have some awareness. Nobody expects you to be an expert with a 4-year degree. Remember, 4 years out of high school. For a lot of you. So there you go. In fact, high school was the best 7 years of my life. I really enjoyed it. But in any event, you learn a little of. And again, not due to the fact that people don't want to teach you. There's no time. I just heard a young lady over there mumble about 20 hours a week in the lab. Yeah, been there. Yeah, done that. Bought the T-shirt. And there you go. So that's very common, particularly with programming courses and other design courses where you have to synthesize versus analyze. All right, so report writing, what to say, how to say it. All right, there's more and more of that in the curriculum now than there was when I was an undergrad, which is good. Teamwork, legitimate or otherwise, as you mentioned your assignments, you know, when you're supposed to work together versus when you're not supposed to, okay? Ethics take credit for other people's work, not good, and does get punished rather severely. They never find the bodies normally. But design, typically you only learn that your senior year if you spend 3 years learning analysis, which is understandable. People want to get to design earlier, but it's kind of dangerous. You wouldn't give an 11-year-old kid a chainsaw. I don't care if you have an IQ of 24, he's going to cut you, cut himself, or cut somebody else. Either way, it's not good. All right? Ethics, hopefully. And culture, how to deal with people with different backgrounds, languages, idiomatic expressions, things of that nature. It is a global economy. Who shops at Walmart? Enough. Okay. End of proof. QED. All right. Engineering, what you don't really learn at all, because it's not within engineering. Although, again, if we make it a professional degree program, and Dr. Merritt and I have been, and others, many others, have been working to get it there.
And by the way, a lot of this is in stuff like the MEM program, which is a professional.
Which I would, again, urge you guys to take advantage of. Exactly. I would really urge it. I didn't have that background. I wish the data would save me a few bucks. marketing sales. S&M, sales and marketing, right? Okay, I reverse it deliberately there. Finance, accounting, management, and leadership. You've never had the opportunity to do it, most of you. All right, you're too busy studying lab work, everything, all the stuff you got to do. It's understandable. Okay, people skills, relationship building.
Can I borrow $5 for gas? You know,
I mean, that's about the extent of the relationship building at gas or the sales job, which is still a relationship, it's still a sale, right? So you do have more knowledge about it than you think. You know, it starts there. Proposal writing, presentation. Learn a little bit about that, but as much as you think you've done it. It's ball by yardsticks, right? In other words, every high school player thinks he can hit the ball until he faces Nolan Ryan in his prime, then he realizes he's clueless. All right, but it takes that. Cost estimating economics and business in general. They don't teach you that. Understandable. Now, why do it for entrepreneurs? Everyone has their own reasons. I will tell you mine. But you like a wide variety of job experiences. That's me. I get bored real quick. You know, I probably if I were 8 years old, I'd be diagnosed with ADD. You know, I don't really care. You know, the people are diagnosing me, well, I'm richer than I am. All right, I like doing what I do. I like something different every year. If I got to do the same thing, once I figure out a problem, a solution to it, to me, it's a solved problem. It becomes boring. When it gets to the textbook, it's boring. All right, now that's just me. Everyone's got their own different reasons. I'm not putting my ideas in your head. I'm just giving you a bunch of them, and you've probably got your own. You like the independence. I love it. I can go to work when I want. I can be here. I retire. Do what I want. I like it. I have a very large John Deere. We have a very steep driveway. It's fun to play with that. All ton and a half of it.
Yeah. Successful engineers get big toys.
Yeah. Just pick up a Celestron, the largest telescope they make. It's kind of neat. You play with it. Like S&M. Science and math. Sales marketing. And definitely sadomasochism does come into it because you do get some pleasure and you do have to beat people up from time to time. So you do get you get all of that. You want outlet and reward for creativity. Here's the key. You get an outlet in a lot of high-tech engineering jobs, and most companies today are very cognizant of the fact they have to give you that. What they lack is you don't get a reward. The guy's closest to the money, folks. Make the most of it. End of story. Okay? That's the key. And I want a big upside. Yo, if I would not go through this pain if I didn't have a hell of a gain afterward. If I didn't have that, I'm like, shit. Tom ducks at the duck pond at Virginia Tech. That was fun. You know, just hang out. In my case, my boss was an evil buddy. In fact, his whole career was a meaningless sequence of pointless events. So, in any event, you know what I'm talking about. So, everyone's got their own reason. All right? Now, entrepreneurial, what is it? If you learn nothing else than today, it is organizing and running a business tactically and strategically. The definition of entrepreneur, French word, origin. One who assumes risk for the sake of profit. Risk comes first. Profit possibly will come later. End of story. That's it. That's MBA. That's all you need. Right? F equals MA. Shit runs downhill. Can't push a rope. There's civil engineering. What else do you need to know? The rest is applications. But they spoon feed you because you need to see how to apply. Right? Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Power equals I squared R. How hard is that? It's not terribly challenging, folks. I hate to say it. But we waste circuits 1 and circuits 2 on it. Because we don't know. Applications. All right. Now, interestingly enough, in any business, low-tech business, I'm making, which is rapidly dwindling supply of cotton, I'm making these things. Low to non-tech stuff is this much of time and effort. And effort measured in terms of dollars, penyezhi, as they say in Slovak and Russian. Dobro, tovar, right? Dinero. Okay, rubles. In a high-tech business, you know, your chief software designer at Microsoft or your head of semiconductor processing at Motorola. That much. What's wrong with this picture? You are trained for this. And trained well. As you point out, Case is one of the best in the biz. But you are not trained for this, and this is what you got to do. He had no clue. Right? Next. The poor dumb schmuck in MBA class, you're helping out through some stupid programming class that your, you know, 3-year-old kid could do. He ends up being your boss because he or she. So what I want to do today is get you an understanding, a better understanding of that part, because I've said this, as Dr. Meredith said, I can take an engineer and teach you guys how to be business people. Take a business person and try to teach them engineering, life is too short. My time is the one demonstrably non-renewable resource. Money I spend, or my wife spends, I go get more. But time, once it's spent, bye-bye. All right? I ain't ever going to see a 40 anymore. That's long in the rearview mirror. So that's where it is. So that's the deal. Technology, I mean, at best. Sales, marketing, management, accounting, finance, blah, blah, blah. That's the deal. Oops, sorry about that. Okay, starting up, how do you do it? Ideas and energy. If you're not a high-energy person, nothing wrong with that.
High energy.
But don't do it. I guarantee you, you will fail. All right? You won't get enough of a running start to leap over the chasm. You won't get there. All right? And just when you think you're at low ebb, somebody's going to need more from you. They're going to stick needles and drain every ounce of blood you have. Been there. All right? Business plan. Management team. Capital. Dinero, right? Okay? And there's three critical business activities, and Dr. Merrill will forgive me if I use the vernacular. Steve's three rules of business, which are not taught in MBA school. You either make shit, you sell shit, you keep track of shit. If it isn't one of those, it is shit, and you don't deal with it. Bottom line. That's it. A lot of people tell you different. That's why they write books. That's why people like me are in business. All right? Enough said. Had that one burned into my brain. All right. Business plan. What does one look like? Well, that's why I decided to bring one. Bottom guy. All right? That's what it looks like. You can look at it. Add it afterwards. You want to have an executive summary, that's number one thing. Think about it. Turn the person on your left and get a close person. Say, I want to borrow 50 bucks. Fine. Who's going to lend you 50 bucks? I got it. Sure, I got it. I don't know. My wife doesn't need it as much. I got 100. No, 80. Is that not it? Damn, she's just what? She's a former associate dean at Penn College, by the way. She's now the chairman of the Campbell Engineering Department.
Yeah, you're with me.
Okay. All right, what would it take for the person next to you to loan you 50 bucks? What would it take for you now to loan the person next to you 50 bucks? Same question, different perspective, right? What does it take? If you get that here, here, and here, okay? Then you can write a good business plan. If you don't get it, you can have all the sorry language and graphs and technical mumbo jumbo, rubarugo, and nobody cares. You'll die. Your pancakes will die. Nobody will care. I won't care. But if you care about their needs and their wants, then you've got to base the deal. That's negotiating 101. Actually, 404 is fine. People don't seem to get to it until graduate school. It's another topic there. But you see, I'm getting at this big. Pin your market. What are your product service? What are you going to sell? Service? Fine. What is it? Market. Who is your target? Who do you sell to? How? What's the size and growth? Your unique advantage. Why do they want to buy from you?
Well, who's smart?
Yeah, so are 10,000 other people.
Well, good degree.
Yeah, so does 100, what? A million people graduate from college every year? I got a high school diploma, too. I'm equally proud of it. All right? You know, my job is to distract you a little bit.
Well, whatever. Remember, Bill Gates.
College dropout. Of course, he was very sperm lucky as my dad has to start you. But at home, I'm not the guest. It's college dropout. But that's how it goes. Dr. Merritt is entirely correct on that.
So is Steve Jobs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Competition. All right? Competence.
We're not, by the way, saying you shouldn't finish your degree. Yeah. Remember that.
No, there you're exactly. The most important thing is to get more value out of it because you have an intrinsic advantage. But recognize it and use it. It is a fulcrum to leverage yourself. There's all kinds of motivations. That's one of them, right? Yeah, another one, yeah. Competence. Why should I believe in you or you or you or you? And loan you that money. That's what it boils down to. Somebody got crusty. They just showed up for class and didn't get the money back. If you loan money to somebody, what's your first question about it?
Why?
Well, it should be, how the hell am I going to get back, right?
Preferably with interest.
Yeah, preferably, but geez, you'd be happy to break even once. But as Dr. Merritt pointed out, interest is the key. That's the problem. You got to ask it. Well, there's somebody else who's there. Well, I'm a smart kid. I got a case and I got my business plan. Who gives a shit? I don't know. What do you say? Hey, give me $100,000. I'll have $250,000 in your pocket in 24 months. Let's go. All right? Get it? Management prior experience. Now, most people here, colleague, have not had a whole lot of work experience. But it's okay to be night manager at Taco Bell. I put myself in case, 100%, being a janitor. I still do it at home. You wouldn't believe that's my wife is. Unbelievable. Chemical engineer, I don't even go under her lab. It's scary. Okay. My insurance doesn't cover that. Alright? But it's okay. You have to learn how to manage the task before you, follow directions, get in line, blah, blah, blah. You can't be a chief until you've been an Indian. Don't try to be. Nobody has to be a bit somewhere, done something, and be back. Alright. Existing financials of many exit strategy. How the hell are you going to get out of it? Again, somebody gives you $100. I want my $100 back. My wife being Italian, her relatives, some of them speak English, most are in the mob. And don't find it. Okay, they'll get the money back one way or the other. So don't ever, especially in today's economy, do not underestimate that. Oh my gosh, you know, it's way worse now than it was 7 years ago. Oh, whoa.
And then now you're criminally liable.
Yes, Starbucks, a whole bit, you got it. It's a whole other world out there. In fact, we've got some prosecutors to get the cheap people there. You know what I'm talking about. Supporting materials, understand the buy-sell rules. That was the experiment. It's a good experiment to try. Run the experiment yourself. Figure out what it takes for you to loan money and for what somebody else to loan it to you. Bottom line. Raise cash. Multiple rounds. Initial seed money. There's A and B rounds. It's generally follow that. Mezzanine. It's very uncommon these days. It's kind of traditional. You know, like, what's his name? Morgan Taylor. Yeah, he's too old. He's kind of out of the business, really. He was good once. It's been a long time. He's good. Initial public offering and post-IPO is needed, which is stock wins. Personal capital. Use it if you've got it. Borrow if you can. I guarantee you it's harder. But if you won't believe in yourself, so if I see you've got a bank account of $50,000, your parents do something, they won't loan you money, and you want to come to me for $50,000, I'm like, if mom and dad don't believe in you, what the hell should I believe in you? Think about that. If your parents don't trust you with money, why should I trust you with money? I don't know who the hell you are. I want sperm count, urine sample, DNA analysis, I want everything. Alright? There's no other way that will give you a diet. And trust me, I'm one of the nice people who lives.
Okay. By the way, one of the very common things with a startup entrepreneur is if you haven't mortgaged your house, the startup company, the bankers are skeptical, the investors are skeptical. It's a sign that you don't believe in your own company.
That's right. That is so unbelievably true. Private capital, M&D, mom and dad. My parents were never in a position to be able to afford that. But I'll get into it later. Relatives, rich uncles, old uncles who are shaky up. Friends and associates, others, you know, there's a lot of sorts of private capital. Venture capital, very hard to get, so totally overrated. Oh my God. All right, if you can get it, and at a good deal, fine, but I can give you story after story of people here who've gotten venture capital and they're lucky to leave with all their body parts intact. They end up working for somebody else for chump change. It doesn't motivate me to get up for work in the morning. Why bother? You know?
So you might comment a little more on the expense of when you
yes,
because
exactly.
Venture capital is usually not your company.
Sure. Oh, you guaranteed a round. I'll tell you something else too. Banks. Thank you, Dr. Murray. Thank you. That was that. Somebody copies it. Business guys and MBA schools are one of the weaknesses. They always put interest rate as a cost of borrowing money. That's half right. People say, when the interest rates get low, sex and you guys understand that, blah, blah, blah. Interest rates are low, you think, well, borrowing money is cheap. Bullshit. Interest rates are low because they don't believe in the market. So when it's cheap to borrow, it's hard to get approved. When it's at 18%, I don't mind loaning you money. Well, screw it. The first year's interest paid me back, so go out there and screw up. Anything after 12 months, I make a profit. I don't care. Plus, I got you by the shorter curlies anyway, so I can repo everything else. That's the conditions of signing it. I don't care what's 80%. So when credit is expensive, it's easy to get. You'll never hear that in MBA class anyway. In college, it's kind of like I said. They don't run businesses. People like me do. Alright? But the bank ain't going to loan you. It might be only 3% if you get approved. Good luck there. Good luck there. That whole other bunch. This is very expensive in terms of stock, in terms of dollars they want, and they accept dollars they cover. There's all kinds of things they can put in. They can put in a double dip, right? Or take a piece of the stock and then they take the dividends, which accumulate if you can't make the payment. So you can generate companies doing, $150 million business a year at 50% margins, king but being Wall Street's darling. Oh my God, front page of errands every day. And the cash called me in 60 months, bankrupt you. Oh, I see it. They walk away laughing. It's all done. Government sources, again, overrated grants, and SBA grants and loans, SBIR, Small Business Innovator Research, you can be good here. It's a lot of work. Phase one used to be 50 grand, now it's up to 100, isn't it? And phase two, 7,500. And phase two, what, a quarter mil or something?
I think it's even a little bit higher now.
Yeah, it gets you off the ground. It's nice. Just be prepared for a lot of paperwork. It's okay. I mean, for certain businesses, again, it's good. For what we did, it's not. But for other people, you're in, nano something, fuel, you know, these days Ohio's funding can bio anything, fuel cell everything, and nano, whatever. You know, think about it. Would you want 2401k in those three areas? I would. And my brother-in-law happens to be the dean here, Bob Savino. It's my brother-in-law. All right? But it's because it's too long, it's a research thing, which is why they throw the money to universities, because that's what we're all here good at, research. But it's not a business yet.
By the way, though, as students, you can apply for those SBIRs.
I didn't know that. Thank you.
There's nothing, in fact, from MIT, their students often apply for SBIRs.
This is a good way to go. Loans promise someone else can get them. Special regional scores like Third Frontier Project things that just got passed issue one. You end up with some special initiatives from time to time. These weren't around. Next time I did that production. So that's kind of the overview. All right. Now, whoops. All right, exit strategy. You always got to figure out, again, going back to the loan example, you bought $50 or $100 or something, how do I get it back? And when do I get it back? It's a real question. All right? Well, I give anybody money. Gamble better be sure. Acquisitions. There are three ways. Acquisition or merger with a larger firm. I've gone through one of them. Very common. You can remain in the game. Employment agreement is very common. They want to tie you up for a little bit. And I don't blame them for doing that. And then you've got stock buyout or buyback. It's very infrequent. Right now, it's quick cash, but you're really out of the game. Okay, meaning if I buy your stock, I bought your stock. Bye bye. Don't come back. Night night. Go away. Quietly, please. All right. So that's how that goes. An IPO is very common these days. Well, a little less common now. This is still the biggest. You can remain in the game with suitable equity arrangement. There's limitation on liquidity. SEC Rule 144 or 145, paragraph D, as David. All kinds of restrictions on how you can transact.
Actually, there was a very interesting article in the Plain Dealer Business Section this morning that said that IPOs are less and less common right now, and that we're really not going through an internet two bubble noticed there's actually a lot of web-type companies that are taking off. They fit in with this capital model. In fact, these days, to start a blog business, all you probably need is an investment of a couple hundred to a couple thousand dollars, and people are doing quite well with that. This is the day of modest startups, because technology has gotten a lot better, a lot cheaper. You can get a big computer, lots of network connectivity for not very much money. So the cost of a lot of startups is cheap.
Compared to what it used to be.
So that's why you're not seeing very many IPOs. These companies are being successful, and instead of an IPO, they're making their money by selling themselves to another company.
That's my plan as well. It's not well, actually, it's going to occur two stages, but that's exactly true. Totally true.
By the way, it doesn't hurt to read business pages. People don't read the business news anymore.
Barron's would be good. Barron's? Better Wall Street Journal, produced by Dow Jones.
Yeah, the nightly business news, by the way, is pretty good. That's on. And by the way, what's her name? Susie, whatever, is a graduate of here. She's the one of the two anchors on the nightly business news.
What year?
I don't know. I think her major may have been accounting, but I'm not sure. And she's now on the board of trustees at the university.
Oh, there you go.
Just like, what's his name, from developed the index fund.
Right.
He's also on our board of trustees.
It's class 63, isn't he?
Yeah, something like that. I want you to say Vogel.
No. It's the, he's an Al. He's an alumni association president, wasn't he?
I don't think he was an alumni association president. He was spending too much time making money.
Something like that. But the key thing about this is plan ahead and articulate it. It's got to be in the business plan. Again, the business plan is simply a way of getting somebody to give you money, to have faith in you, believe that you can actually produce more money. If you can't produce more money, they're not going to give you any money. I know I sound like a broken record, but you've got to have it drilled into your brain. Burned into not E-square prom, not flash, none of that crap. That's volatile. Or not volatile, but it can be erased or changed. I'm talking burn out the diodes, so it's there hard-coded in the DNA. That's where that needs to be. Anywhere else is just too ephemeral, really, to be successful.
Yeah, and actually we had a senior project last year, write a business plan for their project.
Yeah, our story. I started in 1988, Beaver Technologies. Cohen was another partner. At $2,600 of private capital, $1,300 from me. Actually, a good bottle, an awesome bottle of Remy Martin coming here. Oh, big deal. Big deal also. And a wild evening, and had a client database in previous jobs, had one customer, a lot of motivation, amazing amount of ignorance, and had no plan, and we had an amazing month. Two geeks getting together to start a business. Geeks are us, right? It was a scary time. What do we do? Well, we could deal with a fracture in the spaceship for rent to be paid back later. Yeah, negotiation 101, right? It's one thing to take a class and everything actually negotiate, though, and then the movie's in. Yeah. That's a sign of success. That's a final exam, much tougher than any final that you'll ever take, because this one's real. And nobody's backing your play if you fail. You're on your own. Got this card, got a headphone number, got used computer, wrote letters, made sales calls, just, you know, started saying, hey, well, a couple geeks here, we can fix your factory. We focused on manufacturing at that time, because that was big in 88, it was almost 20 years ago. Tying IT systems to the factory floor. You had Big Blue out here, you had this goof in here. That was the days where, like, I think it was DOS 2.3. Damn thing didn't even have a print school. You type in print and go away and get a six-pack of beer while printing your document. They ain't paying no attention to you. Right? You guys are born this.
No, right. Multitasking operations.
Yeah, not even that close. You still stinks as far as that goes, but, you know. It's quite amazing. Still not as a bear skin. You know, making fire out of two sticks. That's all we did. We, you know, did a lot of system integration work, started development of what later is the software we're doing now, but that's what we did. That was our thing.
Notice, by the way, at this point there, services. Company provides services. Think about in today's world with outsourcing and a global economy. Services, at least of this type, are not that likely to be outsourced.
Yeah, you got a little more exact location. Precise.
Keep that in mind, because there's always this professional discussion of what does outsourcing mean. And if you're reading the business pages, again, about Ford, General Motors,
especially
they're going to cut out 4,000 white-collar jobs. And by the way, I know a number of engineers working in Delphi, which is one of the big auto parts suppliers. Their jobs are going. So people that think ahead, because I forget what slide said, plan ahead.
Oh, yeah.
That's important.
Down the road. Down the road.
Unless your plan is you're just going to go to work for that company for a short while.
Which I would recommend for most of you. Don't know. In fact, one of the things, well, I'll get to it at the end, but that one stole my thunder on that. You know, you don't, as I said before, you can't be a chief until you've been in India. It's good to work somewhere first for a while as an engineer, as a degree professional. Learn all aspects of the business. And you do that by being curious beyond outside your cubicle. You've got a stack of stuff to do. It's fine. It takes us 50, 60 hours a week. But if you see the marketing salesperson walk by, say, hey, what are you doing? I want to sit down and buy lunch. That's the cheapest tuition, folks, you will ever pay. Buy the business person lunch and let them tell you about what they do and bring your notepad.
Or your voice recorder.
That's right. But that is very cheap tuition. Boy, you will learn so much. So we have learn sales and marketing, and learn negotiating, project management. All this stuff. Finance.
Project management. Have you heard that term?
Yeah. Customer relationship building. Whoa. We're in the middle of that today. Now, there's a couple guys that we're dealing with in Detroit who are really stupid. We have to educate them without making them think they're stupid. That's hard. That's my one of my weak spots. That's why I delegated that to Dr. Schultz. So he's dealing with that this morning. You don't work very long hours. You got to work for free for a long time. So don't place the order for the Maserati just yet. Okay? Wait a little bit. Discipline. Financial discipline is close to hand. That's huge. I had a business partner myself. Well, that this company with BB, we started with a business partner of mine. He made me actually a little more money than I did. His financial discipline was where it was, and mine was where it is, and enough said. It's not income, folks, it's wealth. Understand the beginning of wisdom, understanding the difference. Beginning of wisdom, first step. All right. No, back to school. No cheating possible. You know why no cheating possible? There's no smart son of a gun in the class who you can copy off of. You're on your own. Ain't no smart geek in the front. Oh, I copy off him, I know he gets it right. Good luck. Now, you're on your own. Jump out of a plane with a chute. Good luck. Hope it opens. And that's where we are. Success. Well, we got to, of course, 9 years. Went ahead to award and 100, you know, top 100 high growth winners, that kind of stuff. For 3 years of tax forms, we averaged 53% net profit. And we almost lost the company back in 93. I started dating my lovely bride. July of 93, we were about $3,000 in chain account and 50, you know, 30 employees and no clue what to do. But then, of course, a job came on that we were hoping would come on that we'd been working on for 2 years and the rest of it, we decided we'd go up and made my first million just about a year after. But that's kind of how it works. We earned a reputation for top quality during a reasonable price. So things seem to be going okay. Beware. What happened next? Well, I saw a large emerging market in the software space, more in the IT-oriented stuff. That's what I wanted to go after. So I was tired of debugging and working with people's crap software. You don't get paid to debug. Does Bill Gates write you a check every time you find a Windows problem and fix it? No, he's laughing all the way today because he knows a bunch of dummies out there, all of us. We'll solve it. For free. It's a beautiful thing. Because we're stupid. It's smart. Okay? So I decided to change the whelm on that. Why am I doing 90% of the work for 10% of the reward? The ratio doesn't work that way. Steve's personal pet theory on why that happens is because everyone hits fifth grade and fractions generally fourth, fifth grade, typically fifth, and that's when most people lose their love of math. And they can't do ratio. That's why they always make bad buying decisions. Right? And bad management of money, because money is all about ratios. You spend 40 grand for cars, is that good or bad? You got screwed. You got a Rolls Royce Corniche, you screwed somebody else. It's ratios, what did you get? Negotiation. What you give, what you get. Ratio. And most people just can't understand numerical analysis in a practical sense. It's amazing. It's amazing. All right. So anyway, my caller wanted to be a consultant one account because it was a big account to make a lot of money. And you just kind of want to, you know, ride off into the sunset. You know, kind of like gallop off in the western. Great. No problem. I didn't want to do that. I was a little more motivated. So on software, I saw a great potential in what we're doing. Consulting, one large client, nowhere else to go. He's still there, by the way. He's good. You know, if a buck and a half a year makes me happy, that's great. You know, didn't do anything for me. So anyway, I can leverage existing relationships to jumpstart new software enterprise. So here I am in business for, 11 years. and we decided to change it. So I was kind of happy. I retained 100% ownership of all software technologies because he wasn't interested in pursuing it. He just wanted to be the service end. I so hate the service end. Oh my God, I hate it. I want to be the product end. That's my personal love, which is not what I'm telling you to do. This is just what do you want to do, all right? So we did that, and what happened? Where's that mouse? Where do you go? There we go. Okay, start a second company. Born on May 1st, 1999. I arranged various agreements with people because, again, I had a reputation. I was already out there in business. I had a reputation that was, you know, much better than 1988 because people knew me. So it was easier for me to send the second time around. I invested about $1.2 million personal capital. In other words, it's like Las Vegas. I throw the money out there and roll that wheel, spin the damn thing, and I end up with a bunch of chips. I say, shit. And I push the chip right back on the bed and spin that bad boy again. So it's either very smart or very stupid. Jerry's still alive. Not sure. Anyway, invested quite a bit of money. Quite a bit of cash. Kept a few, but still invested. We see some private equity investments, about $1 million. Radically improved software, and we went public in October of last year. There's my two stock certificates. I hold about 14 million shares. But current management, we had a real problem April 13th. Current management and I had a significant disagreement about corporate direction, corporate governance, allocation of money. And after my resignation, I said, okay, I'm tired of working 8 hours a week. I've got to reintroduce myself to my wife and her 3 boyfriends by now. Maybe 4, I don't know. But, so, that's what I had to do. And it worked out okay because, I don't know where they're going to go. Preacher status is unknown at this time. It was traded under SEI.pk, and now as of a week ago, it trades under CTTJ.pk. I think they're running into the ground myself. In fact, I'm pretty confident there. But it's okay. I still own 14 million shares. You can't do shit about that. I'm really upset. That's about 70% of the company. It's called negotiation. They're having a hell of a time with that right now. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. So I've got some restrictions on liquidity, though. I just can't dump it. Because of Rule 144 and 145 paragraph D, there's a bunch of other restrictions. Actually, 144 paragraph D, Rule 145 paragraph K. You have to learn a lot about FCC rules and shit. As you do this, you know. Education is ongoing. But it's all right. I still have them, and it's kind of fun. Things on a wall. All right, started through a company, July 1st, 2005. I've seen all new toys for my nieces and nephews. I got 25 of them. There's some great nieces and great nephews. And some are, one of my nieces is in medical school now, and the other is, I don't know, age range. But then I said, shit, I'm not going to sit in my butt. You know, my wife, boyfriend, and I, we don't get along that well. So I decided to get out of the house and start another company. So I did that. Here's what we do. A lot of business intelligence, stuff like that. There's a patent publication. We make Varsity software, Varsity, patent file line. 9/11, 2001. Exactly on that day. Got stand up by the PTO, Patent and Trademark Office, 919, because as you well recall, no planes were flying that day, so it's that FedEx collection box. Pretty much can't hang out there. So, we do a lot of business intelligence, things of that nature. We connect, again, the same basic stuff I've been doing my whole career, connecting factory floor stuff to heavy-duty IT systems, but in a bigger way. You know, all the healthcare information, LIMS, security audit trail, data analysis, presentation, asset management, all that kind of stuff. All the kind of stuff that you find a lot in California, you find a little bit in Boston, you find none of it here. You know, from the Appalachians to the Rockies, it's a vast wasteland of corn and wheat. The ingredients of beer are very important, but nonetheless, that's what we do. So I do it today. Well, we're making money. We're positive cash flow already. So it's November's not even over. Yeah. Rapidly filling pipeline of projects, which is good. Active projects with government and healthcare, pharmaceutical. Right now, those are our 3 big areas. Agreements pending with some global system integrators, and I think we have a handshake coming up. Boys Australia, Mike. We've got boys from the UK and Australia repping our software in the Pacific Rim. So we just met with them, including Michael Bailey. I don't know if you're familiar with the company Quantum Iridium, the Iridium satellite stuff, but Michael Bailey is an acquaintance of mine. He flew in to meet me. He is a manager, what they call the managing director, he's CEO. So I think we have a deal that, in principle, the lawyers are, you know, killing trees right now at this point. So we received some private equity investments and patent file software, additional patents. We're actively recruiting right now for a couple key positions in the management team. I'm much more careful based on people I was dealing with before. It's full background check, FBI, and everything else. And I've got my shared connections with both organizations and Secret Service. And we're probably going to do an IPO in 2007, which is starting to work out right. We're going to get funding from some heavy hitters who have made certain I kept their name out of it, but they're heavy hitters. Cleveland, by the way, this part of the country is like the fourth or fifth highest, somewhere around there, in per capita number of billionaires. No, it's not the San Jose folks. No, it's not a random Washington with Microsoft. No, it's here.
There's a lot of old money.
Correct. Third generation. Grandpappy started that darn company. Started that crap company. My grand,
they're loyal.
These guys all company. Yeah, these guys are very well. Okay, I don't underestimate that. But he also made it in very traditional industries, which is why they're having trouble making the jump. These guys are dealing with are in their 70s, and then the grandson of, you know, some of the guys with the money. So that's what we're doing right now. That's our little gig. But some strategic observations about this. First of all, overnight success takes 15 to 20 years, okay? You know, by the time you read about something, oh, I'm going to be the next Google, it's going to be the next Google, you are snorting such kind of nasty stuff, man, don't do it. Crack that. Don't even think about it. Bill Gates was the exception of the one. He was nothing before IBM screwed up. IBM made a huge mistake. Bill Gates would have been a beer-stained, gibbering heap of denims in the corner somewhere if it weren't for IBM screwing the pooch. Most people don't know the history because you guys were born after it started. You know that? Thus, serendipity plays a big role. Like the W loses a lottery ticket, and the lucky guy who stumbles over it in a drunken stupor and finds it.
That's right. Who remembers digital research?
Thank you. Yes. DTM. Thank you. Digital research. He's out for on a fishing trip. The rest is history. Oh, God.
Well, actually, no, he turned them down. They thought
CDM
was going to be the operating system.
Moral desires, yes.
When IBM approached them, there was a Colorado company to develop an operating system for IBM.
GDOS, 300 GDOS.
And he didn't want to associate with a big company like IBM. So they went to a little startup called Microsoft. And you remember the story. They couldn't develop it on time, so they went across the bay and bought it for $50,000 from another startup company for a one-time fee. And thus was born DOS.
Yep.
So you noticed that Microsoft didn't develop it. They just bought it.
They developed nothing. The biggest business group of the 20th century is IBM, saying that, well, in 1960, around the year I was born, 1960, well, we're a big blue. And we make money on selling hardware, so software is a throwaway. And applying that in 1981 to 20 years later, not understanding the world has changed, and applying a 1960s business solution or approach to a 1980s business problem, don't make the same mistake. Don't assume that what you see, feel, touch, and believe today is going to be true 5 years from now. Don't do it. You know, the old, who was it? Bruce Springsteen, the Pirates jam with Broken Heroes on a last chance power drive. There's plenty of examples I can give you. Tale after tale of entrepreneurs who made that mistake, got themselves frozen in time, and never went to it. Bye bye, 99. How
but
do you want
some to? Do well. How many people are taking the advanced circuit design course? For applied circuit design course. Sorry. Did Larry tell you about his big business contract that he got 2 weeks ago? Pacific Gas and Electric, I guess, signed a $250 million contract with his company. Very nice. He owns this company, lock, stock, and barrel.
It'll work. Stay with IQ on this one.
And by the way, he started working out of the instrument room on the third floor of Gelinas as the department technician.
As many kids grads.
He did it on the side, consulting.
Yep, as many case grads have done it.
So just think about it. He's an example of a very successful person. He started in consulting services.
Right, you all start there just to generate pinyeji. You save it. You can live on fruit salads every day. Do it. Save your money so you have that private capital to invest when you need to.
Yes.
I saved my money. That's why I wanted to third startup. Well, the other guys owed me a note for Smarty Island. Well, $650,000 that they would make down. Only $650,000. Well, that's kind of a big hit to take. Wasn't too happy about it. Gosh, dare you come home to your wife, you know, it's her anniversary birthday, the anniversary of mother's death. She's never happy on that particular weekend. Well, they asked me to resign from my own company, and it'll be, by the way, stiffest for $650,000. How was your day, dear? Oh, okay. Yeah, it could be a rough time. But fortunately, we're fully focused on ourselves in a position to manage that risk. It's all about managing risk. In other words, deeper pockets. And not from mom and dad, but from making a lot and not spending it. I think I had my first new car when I was 38. Disinvested it. That way, when I have to write a check for $1 million, I am totally capable of doing it. All right? So told you. Most people aren't because they don't save it. They have the income but no wealth. All right, but here's the other thing. Dot-com is over. Bad business plans will not get funded. Shareholder value is vital. But you got to have sustained profitability now. You can't bullshit them anymore. Bullshit them a little bit. Still happening in the market. Okay?
Just because it's technology, it won't fly.
Exactly. Yeah, very good.
Good business plan. Good. With an identified market, yep. An identified customer.
And believable.
This is a conservative market.
Ooh, big time. And don't get hooked on techno trends. All right, boy, they're everywhere. And they're more ephemeral now than they ever used to be.
Well, avoid buzzwords.
Yes.
Like nano, and I'm sure we'll have nano software soon.
I should name my company FileSoft. The state would just have this, we'll get it rushed to give me about $20 million. It's just quite amazing. Our IQ bio, I don't know, I'll come up with something. It's easy to BS them, but they're not terribly intelligent people. Tech observations. You got a lot to learn. Get started now. In fact, I would have given a lot to be in your shoes right now and have somebody like me telling you something, because I didn't know any of this stuff. There was nobody here doing that at the time. There is now time to change. We change, we adapt, and grow. And so I want to give you the benefit of my experience, my knowledge, which is what Dr. Merritt and company have been doing for this entire semester. And we'll continue to do.
This is your lifelong learning.
That's right. It doesn't stop. If I relied on anything I learned as a grad or even with my PhD, which is, 18 years ago, I'd be, doomed to hopelessness. I'd be a dinosaur. Yeah, just way out there. Surround yourself with ethical people and be one yourself. This, I tell you, this wasn't on slide many years ago. It is now. I guarantee there's some people who've done some mismanagement, and I won't reveal any more because I've signed some agreements. They're going to go to jail in 2 to 3 years. I absolutely guarantee it's going to happen. And Bubba's lonely. Bubba took care of him.
And by the way, part of ethics is communications.
Yes.
Would we mention that?
What happened?
More and more, especially in a big company, holding information back, not doing stuff, that's the first start of an ethical problem.
Well, surround yourself with complementary skills. You don't want a yes, you want a bunch of psycho things. You want somebody who says, I think you're full of shit. All right, well, tell me how. And you want somebody who can back up their position, not just shoot from here. But you always want somebody to question things. That way, if you can do that in the right sense and don't put your ego into it, then you get locked down by consensus. I've got some very good ideas. I've had some things are so dumb it's embarrassing. Hey, man, who bats a thousand? The dust here in your world strikes out, pretty often. Don't be afraid to make your mistakes and change direction. And here's the key. Here's where you have the advantage of all of this. Engineering analysis and what you learn here is very powerful. With care, understanding your model, you can learn a lot about business and figure stuff out long before the marketing people get it. Because they're intuitive. You're analytical. What you need to do is don't suppress the intuition. Use it, but train it with the analytics, as the late A.J. Lowell, or Professor Matthew was saying.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, between chain folding.
We had some interesting math professors.
Yes, we did.
When we were students.
Yes. A.J. was one of the few guys at that time to be admitted to the Russian Academy of Sciences back in the 70s. Very few. I was a pleasure to stay in it. Was great.
He was also the one who was the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, yeah. God, that was way back.
He was a math professor here. And we'd come in to teach math. M1, M2, M3, on Monday mornings, totally beat up. But he had a PhD in math and taught math here. He was on the faculty here. And he was the quarterback for the Browns.
Yeah, he was a backup QB. Sorry. God, what? Oh. Oh, there for Caesar, too. It's quite amazing. So this is the thing. You're going to have to sacrifice, folks. Put yourself in position now. If you've got a part-time job, what are you doing? Talk to people on other aspects of the job. Well, I just want to push your broom. Fine, so did I. When I pushed your broom in a library, there were other people out there using the library for business meetings. Instead of sitting there trying to hide out from work, I would talk to them. I'd get them coffee and say, tell me about what you do. I made an amazing amount of contacts. And it's kind of plus. Little did I know, true story. Mike Aldridge, I don't know if he's ready or not. Google Docs is just a thing. I got about 50 more minutes.
Oh, you've got a fair bit of time.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Google Docs is when I'm here. Just got my ink still wet in my master's degree. This is the coolest thing ever. And I go there, and I just want a full time job for summer because I was just going to start my PhD. This is back in 83 now. And so I go to his office, and he sits up, dapperly dressed guy, just totally professional, all that. And he says, well, we got some forms we need to fill out, standard stuff, which is typical, employment forms and background and all that crap. So He leads me around a serpentine maze of cubicle commandos. This floor, down that floor, across the campus, five other buildings. I was thoroughly lost in cubicle. Sits me down his cubicle and goes, fill this stuff out. He goes and looks at the clock and his clock right above there. He goes, in half hour somebody back to get you. You know, so I'm done about 10 minutes. It's not really a whole lot of things. It's not like you're writing a dissertation. Pretty basic name right syllabus. So I look around, I'm sitting there for a couple minutes and say, well, school. So I get up and I just kind of cover, retrace my steps. I got lost 18 times. I asked him, wait, I'm looking like all of myself. So he gave me some directions, I'd be good for another 100 yards, and then I wouldn't find it. So finally, finally found his office at the door. He looks up. I just sit down. He goes, well, you passed. I said, yes, so what do you mean? He goes, anybody, Steve, that lady and that dumb to sit on his ass and waste my time, wait for me to come and nursemaid him, is not somebody I want on my team. Initiative. I do that all the time. Oh, but I'm much wiser, spice it up. Trust me, a lot of jalapeno stuff on it, and I do it. Quite a bit. I run scans every time. You never know if it's real or not. You'll never know. Trust me. And I'm even warning you. Trust me, that other people do it. Because so many people falsify resumes and records. And want to know, are you bullshitting me or not? And I don't got mine to waste my valuable time. Another thing, just these are little tactical things I'm just giving it from my experience. Never put references available upon request. I don't care who tells you that. They're an idiot. Tell them I said that so and they can come here and I'll smack in front of you. Right? I'm employed in a high-tech company. I have a salary of smart data was well over $100,000 a year here included. Well over. Average. That includes the guy pushing the book. Over 100 years. I am not going to waste my valuable time to find out about you. You don't need to do the work. To prove to me you're motivated. If you're not motivated enough to produce a decent resume, I don't want to talk to you. Think about it. Other employers are that way. Right? Anybody. Happens all the time. Same with a business plan. If you're not motivated enough to put it all there and make it palatable and understandable, why should they talk to you? Goes right back to the basic transaction. Can you borrow $100 or $50 from your buddy? No difference. As Malcolm hints, there's a lot of personal selling required. You have to sell yourself. That's the only person you got right now. You got to sell yourself. Sell it to your friend. Maybe you want somebody part of the management team. Well, do they want to hitch their career onto your wagon? Their career wagon on your horse? Yeah? And who's got what role? This is, again, personal selling right from the get-go. To convince that person next to you that, yeah, let's do it together. That's hard. Make use of your personal attitude, skills, connections. You all have different ones that you've developed, whether directly, indirectly, whether intentionally or unintentionally. They're your greatest assets. Use them. Network wherever and however possible. Hang out at the places where the entrepreneurs hang out. And now there's organizations, as Dr. Mercer was pointing out, which didn't used to exist when I was there. It wasn't Jumpstart. There wasn't any of this stuff. And I've been a regular, I've been the guest drinker at the Mark Street Wine Bar in Willowwood, Northeast Ohio Entrepreneurs. In fact, a lot of business MBA classes take their classes, their group there. I'd recommend just hanging out there. It's on Tuesday. Just look up Gorilla Group on the web and you'll find it. Go to capitalistcleveland.com. Capitalistcleveland, one word, .com. Check it out. And there's radio shows there. I've been on radio 4 or 5 times. Capitalist Cleveland every Tuesday morning, 8 to 9 a.m., 1300 a.m. So, done that. As CEO, you have to be the chief evangelist of your organization. Demons, like the old FedEx commercial. We do that. And look around and say, how the hell am I going to do that? Right? You have to have the energy. They can't see you have any doubt, even though you did. If you do, keep it yourself. You find a way. Winners find a way, as I'm often fond of saying, losers look for excuses. The receiver dropped the ball. Well, you can't develop that. In the end, you got to play the best. And you have to manage things outside of your control. That's life in the big city. Get used to it. If you don't want it, it's okay. This life is not for everybody. Oh, God, it's not. And you must be the chief motivator. You've got to be at spark plug. That's what I say about high energy. The people are going to beat your ass up. Your old parents might say, what the hell are you doing? What are that panel switching for? Are you going to do what? That kind of thing. Or your wife, your girlfriend. What? I lost 3 girlfriends to my business, and I don't miss any one of them. To be honest with you. They made the wrong call. I made the right call. I'm much more happy off. But right now, we want. They couldn't take the fact that they liked their toys. Oh, God, they loved the money. But they didn't understand what it took to get them there. Yeah, it's everyone's circumstances a little different. For me, just got mad enough. It's been a long, strange trip. I never thought I'd end up here. That's the kind of chair. But we did. And sacrifice money and time. Again, reinvest. Oh, I just did $1.35 million. Plus the additional $650,000, which it was a note that I loaned somebody. They didn't quite repay it. Buck Fanny said, going to buy these firearms for me. Fully automatic this time. we'll take your busy old fashioned way. But all things aside, I don't think they want that to be on. It can take 15 years, 20 years. Don't have unrealistic expectations. Don't walk in there thinking you're going to be profitable out of the box. Or you're going to just be a success. You will fail several times before you succeed. So what? Don't worry about it. You only fail too if you stop trying. You've got to go out in seconds. Who gives a shit? Dust yourself off, go back to the dugout, and next time, eyeball that picture a little better. Get a better stand. And don't be afraid to make the jump. The rewards can be absolutely astounding. I've done okay. I have no complaints. And in fact, you're okay enough with development departments of two universities are calling my butt right now. Three if you count Carnegie Mellon, Jones, and four, I guess, at U of M. You got spanked. And was marijuana in Michigan at a common? They both get smoked in bowls.
That took me a minute.
Sorry. Oh, well. Anyway, that was what I had for you today. It's just really just the highlights and overview. But I'm at your service right now. You got any questions about anything related to starting a business, taking your technology skill rather, and throwing it out in the marketplace, feel free. Whether it be from job interviews, because you want to work for a company and be an entrepreneur, or entrepreneur, either way, I've done both, and I'm at your service.
By the way, note, type A personalities tend to be entrepreneurs. The one thing, which was in the last couple of slides, really important if you're going to start any business, network, network, network. Because you never know where you're going to make the connection. You never know where you're going to find the business opportunity. As a technical person, don't even hesitate if it's low tech. It's amazing how successful low tech things are. You never know. In fact, I'll use Larry Sears as another example of a strange product that they made money on. I guess he gets together with a bunch of his technical friends. And they came up with, and actually I think these were non-technical friends, they came up with the idea, right? And how many of you read those magazines and airplanes that are selling all of these strange gadgets? Okay. Somehow they came up with the idea of, we want a birdhouse that we can hear the birds in singing. So they put a walkie-talkie in the birdhouse, and you have a receiver in the house. Okay, this doesn't sound like a big deal. I think they sold 100,000 of them at $375 a piece. Now, would you have ever thought of that? I never would have. And I'm not ashamed to admit it.
And even if
I don't think Steve.
No, and I'll go a step further. Even if I would have thought of it, I would never admit to it.
Well, but if you multiply, if you multiply $375 by 100,000, it's a worthwhile buck.
Yeah.
Something to that effect. But it's amazing. Don't underestimate simple ideas.
All right.
Here's microcomputer control tool chlorinator. Measures it and dumps in the chlorine.
Please.
So, at what point you were doing basically consulting work, right. When did you start to see that you wanted to, diverge away from the
system? First 6 months.
Yeah.
When we're doing 90% of the work debugging somebody else's screwed up software, software guys make a lot of money. You know, the guys had better clothes, gals were better looked at, and we're just busting our ass at 3 in the morning for what? Debugging their screw ups. And we're getting a few percentage points. That's fine.
By the way, consulting is a wonderful opportunity to scout out organizations, and in the course of it, you may come up with ideas for products.
Paid marketing.
Yeah. In fact, consulting is a good way to support yourself until you come up with that idea.
Right. I just have my business cards here, too. You guys grab.
Networking, sales.
I'm also very good at working. I can even wake up anybody in the back. I guarantee you, I can knock it out of here. Years of experience. So.
from sitting in that back row.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Now, note,
don't tempt me.
A real entrepreneur is almost addicted to entrepreneur. Third company.
Yeah.
This one doesn't make it. You'll probably start a fourth.
Maybe the first two, you know, regard, but yeah, it's been a pain. I don't know, but yeah, fourth's going to be rough. I got to talk to Tony into it.
Now, out of curiosity, how many people in here have a company?
You're a consultant.
Yeah, this is still a small number. Any of you have any employees? I mean, other than yourself. Okay, see, that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, but you've got one backyard employee as well.
One company had three employees.
Cool. Anybody else? They charge tomorrow. Tomorrow I charge.
So I take the software that you started doing, like, initially out of the, you know, with something you saw as an immediate need.
Correct.
Right.
And we saw a need that might be expanding on our own. We didn't really think 20 years out. We thought maybe 3 to 4 years out.
Right.
Yes. Correct. And we got lucky. But we also had to change things. But that was it. We saw. Now, we're solving the same problem 7 times, just different ways. But we like solve the same problem. Well, shit. You want to just solve it once, and then the margins go up.
Right. Because like, once you actually start your software solution, then it's kind of like you probably have to refine from there just because.
Right. That's the and the trick is, what's that mechanism of refinement? And then we came up with the idea of make it all rules-based so that you do it once. So all the decisions are made at runtime, never at compile time. Always runtime. So our dirty little secret is I ship the same piece of software. Bit for bit, byte for byte, line for line. I don't make a single change. What's handling the Department of Defense, the command, is also handling the, you know, City of Lakeville Village, something about the Detroit the water system. It's also doing stuff for Carmel Health. I don't change it. They think it's different. That's okay. A nice little puppy house. Quadrupeds in a bipedal world. That's right. I'm determined to profit from ignorance. Yes. The degrees themselves, once you've been an Indian, you know, you work for somebody else, you know what it's like to, and you've been in the field and done things, an MBA is very valuable with an undergraduate engineering. Very helpful. You can take the right course, like any degree, like even this. You can slide by if you want to, or you can take advanced circuit design if you want to. Right? Or microwave engineering, whatever the electrics are, happen to be now. Okay?
I would have offered microwave engineering 8 years. Oh, if anyone's interested, let me know.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. I enjoyed that. Dr. Bob, that was good.
Yeah, you deal with real plumbing.
Yeah, real plumbing. It's kind of cool. Making coils under pencils. I mean, but, so I find it very valuable once you've worked out there for a while. But take the extra courses. Accounting and finance, I would not recommend taking too much there. I can be blunt because you can hire that. It's a very pedestrian service. Cost counting is figuring out where your money went. Cost estimating is figuring out where it will go or where it's likely to go. That requires domain-specific knowledge. You can get a trained chimp to do cost counting. Chimps can do that. That's it. I would not spend time there. I spend time in sales, marketing, general business conditions, that things of that nature. If you do it, don't worry about the financial accounting side. It's pedestrian. Run. Pick up the phone, get a $12 arm check. You know, don't worry about it. Service available.
Yeah, hire a part time college student for your accounting.
They'll do it fine. That's fine. Does that make sense? So it's valuable in sales and marketing. So understanding your marketer, seeing how to reach it, what tools work, what tools don't. Keep thinking about engineering models. That's why I said engineering analysis. The cool thing about models, if they're done right, have inherent testability. And not just for accuracy and prediction. But the model itself, if it's done right, will tell you, hey, I'm not the model for you. You get that? In other words, the model knows where it can be applied, or you should know about that when you use a model, and you know where it doesn't work. I used to be a professor of electrical engineering at Penn College. I gave tests where Thevenin's and Norton theorems break down. They do. Simple way. It's like a hidden division by zero. Like, oops. Can't do that. That would always be fun.
Kicks line your results for a semester students. Yeah.
But you see, I'm getting it. You know, you can do, they're you got to know where the model works, and engineering analysis can help you. So take the classes in business that can relate to that. It's valuable. I wish I would have had, yes, please.
So did you pick up all your marketing experience on the fly?
Correct. Correct. But I was able, willing to learn.
Right.
Yeah, if you're, you know, you, obviously you guys who start business, that means you're there. Now, if you're willing and able to learn, and you're obviously able, you've been willing and eager, you're there, you're free for free. Sure. You know, I had surrounded myself with people who knew it. I would sit down and buy them a beer, buy them lunch, say, well, educate me a little bit. Like I said, is that, you know, $40, $50 and you get a nice lunch for that, you know, decent wine,
And it's a cheap tuition. No registration, no exams, you don't worry about scheduling, you have fun, you don't like. Cheap tuition.
By the way, make sure the MBAs or MEMs work for you.
Got that right.
Be careful about partnerships.
Yeah. In fact, these days, the LLC and LLP is going by the wayside with the IRS, too. So when you organize, you probably want to first be a C Corp or rather an S Corp, and then switch to a C when you have to. That's typically advised. Yes? Anybody else? I don't hear too many stories in the back. Something.
I think they're just happy that it's the last class of the semester.
Oh, boy. Who's buying the lunch here? You think he doesn't? You didn't tell about the tradition?
No.
Oh, the one who doesn't ask questions gets to buy the lunch. You didn't. Oh.
Although we'll see if he got copy of notes for the presentations.
Yeah, and
something. Or maybe something.
Somebody got copied up.
How much money do you like for your
house? Well, last year I lost $600,000 or $800,000. But yeah, $500,000. I don't know. I mean, that's what tax form says. I don't know what the real numbers are. My accountant is
sad. I don't know.
Yeah, but tax forms average between $450,000 and $700,000. That doesn't count with the equity yet. That's what real money is, an 8 salary. Bill Gates never made it in salary. It's equity. So, you know, I'm hoping this next company, in fact, that should go public. Guys are probably going back. It's going to be either Goldman Sachs or Citicorp. Because the guys financing were roommates. Space financing. They were roommates in Wharton School of Business 45 years ago. They're like this. Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what's going to do it.
Well, you don't forget, Jack Daly's managing that technology.
Yeah, I don't know that.
He got $5 billion to invest.
Sometimes you just stumble into it, you know? But the point is, chance favors a prepared mind.
Always.
You know, I mean, opportunities cost your desk every day. You've got to, A, recognize there are opportunities, and B, in a position emotionally, financially, psychologically, technically, to grab it. Got to be two for two. But yeah, that's about it. I don't know. Mine's what my wife spends in the bushes. Yes?
How much did your PhD help with?
Oh, tremendously. It opened doors. Taught me to do research and learn, be independent. Taught me to write. The longest document I'd written up at that time was a master's, and the PhD taught me to write and organize thoughts. Okay? Very valuable to present thoughts, which is kind of what I do here. Only not for a grade, only for, right there in the law. So that's what it is. What I'm doing now. To teach you to bring it all together. So it's very, very helpful. Opens the doors to you credibility. I also work as a consultant as you guys do in the beginning. That's how you always start out, right? It's cheap. And then you develop clients, relationships, get some money, the whole bit. Yeah, that's the way it is. And then you leverage when the time's right.
And it's a lot harder to come up with a product than what you think.
Ooh. Yeah, because the worst thing is, as CEO, my job is not only motivator and everything else, but it's to make sure we engineer what we can sell and sell what we can engineer. Two ways to fail in the business. Engineer shit that is cool but won't sell. Sell shit that is cool but can't engineer. 0 for 2. Oops. Only one way that can work. Does that make sense? So I would recommend graduate education to all of you. That's just me. You get personal preference. If you find an opportunity before that grade, congratulations. Two thumbs up. But for me, it was very useful for me. Excuse me.
By the way, I've got the applications for the PhD program in. No problem.
Right now, we have a total of 5. We expect 40 by a year from now. So we're out recruiting. We're very careful. Yeah, we just started. We just started July. So we're expecting 40, about. In fact, the distribution of them, probably our technical team will be no bigger than 7. IBM did a lot of research in that to solve it. 6 or 7 is the optimal number for a project team, no matter how big the project is. Any fewer than that, you don't get to work too much work. Any more than that, and the interpersonal communication chokes you off. They found that. Most of it would be in the SM side of the business, sales and marketing.
Now, there are a few exceptions, depending upon the industry. How many people co-opted Intel? Anyone here co-opted Intel? The teams required to design a modern microprocessor are huge.
Well, yeah, I did talk about
200 to 300.
Yeah. In our case,
that's the nature.
Right. They're hierarchical, though. That's totally true.
Very hierarchical.
Ours, 6 or 7 for each cell, if you will. 6 or 7 for managers, they manage 6 or 7 people. Think about it. You got 40 students. Each one wants to meet with you for 2 minutes a day. The numbers don't work. Take me, if you try to manage 40 people, you can't manage 40 people. In fact, you don't want to manage people. People, things are managed. People are led. You lead by example. And invite them to share your vision. Get them fired up, and then they can run. Okay? That's where our primary goal right now is recruiting. We're looking for CLO, chief operational officer. I want to see some business veterans that got even less hair than me. That's what I'll be looking for right now.
And by the way, those Mantegna charts, which you handwork, are some of the only tools that upper management can use to keep track of 40 people or more. I mean, you can't. You need things which can tell you in a glance what's going on.
Some tactical suggestions, too. For those of you who this is not the way you want to go, these tools and techniques are very useful in your advancement as an intrapreneur. Because if you show to your boss that you understand his or her problems and the bigger picture, because the boss job sees the bigger picture, and some do it well, some will never get there, then you demonstrate your value to the organization. And you can rise up and be in charge of a whole department or division, have the job security you like, the influence if you like, and be able to do fun stuff and kind of dictate your own schedule. I like, you know, the best employees for me are the ones who come up and say, Steve, we've got problem A, B, and C, and D. But here's what I think we should do about it. In other words, never present a problem to your boss without an attempt at a solution. Even if you can't solve it all, always come there with an answer. And if you don't know beyond, say, look, we've got five problems here. These three, here's what I think we should do. These four, or this fourth one, this fifth one, maybe it's shit. I'm not sure what to do. That's okay. Provided you demonstrate effort that you made an attempt at least some other issues you're able to handle. You know, we definitely, our management team makes notes like, you know, let's do that one for a leadership role. Okay? That's what Michael Aldrich was doing to me when I was being interviewed for that job at Google. Who's a leader? Who gets up on his own and tries to, in the brand new situation, not knowing anybody, not knowing where the hell I'm at, not knowing any of the parameters about the job, meeting it for a total of 5 flippant minutes, and who exerts leadership? Well, I did. And that's what it requires to do this. And you can do the same. There you go. Yes, please.
So, like, hiring your first employees, or when you went from consulting to, you know, making a product, how did that go? Like, how did you approach hiring employees?
Oh, okay.
Maybe some insight, like, how you should approach hiring employees.
Sure, yeah. First
hire
your and it's how to know, exactly. First time, we just work with people we knew. That's how we start. You always start that. You start with what you know. And now, you know, it's much more of a thorough screening. But the lower level employee, the less that it matters, it doesn't impact their business much. But the higher level ones can make a wrong decision and cost the company millions. So we go through a whole screening process now. But in the beginning, you know, when you're starting out, just if there's someone you've got a relationship with that you know, and you trust them, you work with them, maybe they're already laughing at yourself. That's okay, that's good. Start there because you know how they behave. You know what they can handle, you know when to come down on them, you know when to back off, you know when to shake your hand, you know when to kick them in the ass. All right? I mean, that's part of the game. You know, you've got to know when. I mean, so, does that make sense? That's how you start.
Yeah.
You formalize it later. You know, you don't want to get overly formal and be, and you don't got time for that. People say, well, you got to do this at your end. Yeah, if your organization's 100 people. If you're 2 people, it's much more of a loosey-goosey thing. That's okay. You know, don't think that you're doing something wrong by being that way. Assuming that you are, okay, that's all right. That's the way it works. Ours is pretty loosey-goosey. Better time at it. It's not a problem. We all know what we're doing. And we'll, you know. As Dr. Murray pointed out, make sure you hire good people. And be real careful. Now I'm much more quicker to fire than I used to be. Just because it's costing me a lot of money making mistakes. Oh, God. Way more in case of tuition ever cost me. Way out. Six Sigma's off the page. You know, and still haven't come up with a good explanation. I've got a half of that, I guess. It's cost of the higher education beyond the PhD. Cost of higher education. I'm happy to help out anybody with business questions. I got a stack of cards here. So, you know, do it all the time. And I'd recommend looking at capitalistcleveland.com. You'll hear a whole bunch of regular interviews with entrepreneurs. You will find a location of the Gorilla Group meetings every month, once a month, Tuesday. It's very good. It's very good for networking. Oh.
Yes, but the most important thing is to network with potential customers. Networking with potential investors is good. But if you don't have customers, you're not going to get any investment.
Right,
that's trade shows. That's friends. That's anything.
Great. Keep your PDA up to date. I do it all the time. Just, you never know. I meet people now that kind of say go around. True case for just yes, I got an email from Miles Barov. He's now in charge of technical development for object innovation, startup down in Jacksonville, Florida. I knew him in my first business back in 1989 as VP of a company out in Jersey. So it looks like we're hooking back up again after 17, 18 years. All of it, you just never know when stuff bubbles to the surface. That's like somebody you knew in second grade. following service in a significant business relationship. Never would have thought of it. Who would have thought of it? So that's kind of cool getting an email. So that's any other questions about how to do, what to do, what not to do? Yeah.
Anyone thinking about starting a company?
Well, you guys both doing it. Yeah.
Just two.
Sorry.
That's okay. It's a start.
Yeah. Me, I don't know anything else to do. I'm not good at it.
And Norman's thinking about a PhD.
Was that?
And Norman's thinking about a PhD.
Good, sir. No, I regret it.
And I know we have a couple of M&M candidates in here.
I still got to hit the projection.
And I bet we've got a couple MBA candidates. Aaron? Not going to be an MBA candidate?
Do they still have the entrepreneurial class in the Weatherhead now?
Oh, yes.
Who's doing it now? It was Hop Wong. She did it for the
I don't know. But I, you know, Edison candidates, GE or Austin, MBA candidates.
Okay. You look at the market, all there's just so much, it's hard to compress it, you know, 18 years of doing this.
Yeah. By the way, there are very good opportunities at every level in technical management. The important thing is that you have to have the technical background to understand the basis on which decisions must be made. As we said earlier, you can't train MBAs unless they've already got a technical degree in engineering or technology. But you can train engineers in management.
Please.
For the company that you recently the company starting up, how much of the actual technical software do you think you'll be doing? That's what's like the devs.
Okay, good question. I'll be architecting. Yeah, I'll be approving the architecture and probably architecting the majority of it. I still keep my hand in the technical.
That's the base type role.
You know, but other than that, I'm going to have people do that, headed up by a former professor, Dr. Bill Schultz, will be, you know, handling that end of it. He's an example of somebody who constantly learns, which is good, you know, keeps his skills up to date. You're half of your education about 3 years. At which one technically is, you know, some of you guys constantly guess. You guys keep that.
I think we ran over.
Oh, thanks. Sorry about
okay.
that.
Okay. Well, Steve, thanks a lot.